58. Text 48, 1:8:48. And I'm going to ask Gurung Kishore if he would chant the Sanskrit and do the word for word, if you repass him the microphone. 1:8:48, Prayers of Queen Kunti chapter, and it's the text 48. Do it, yeah.
Word for word.
Do the, as you like, lead us.
This will be the word for word, and then we'll do it line by line.
Aho. Aho.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
May.
May.
My.
My.
Vasyata.
Vasyata.
Jasi.
Jasi.
Agnyanam.
Agnyanam.
Ignorance.
Ignorance.
Kridi.
Kridi.
In the heart.
In the heart.
Riddham.
Riddham.
Situated in.
Situated in.
Duratmanaha.
Duratmanaha.
Of the sinful.
Of the sinful.
Parakasya.
Parakasya.
Parakyasya.
Parakyasya.
Meant for others.
Meant for others.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Dehasya.
Dehasya.
Of the body.
Of the body.
Bhavyaha.
Bhavyaha.
Many, many.
Many, many.
May.
May.
By me.
By me.
Akshahinihi.
Akshahinihi.
Combination of military phalanxes.
Combination of military phalanxes.
Hataha.
Hataha.
Killed.
Killed.
Aho me pasyata jnanam.
Aho me pasyata jnanam.
Kriti ruddham duratmanaha.
Kriti ruddham duratmanaha.
Parakyasya eva dehasya.
Parakyasya eva dehasya.
Bhavyo me kshohi nirhata.
Bhavyo me kshohi nirhata.
Aho me pasyata jnanam.
Aho me pasyata jnanam.
Riddhi ruddham duratmanaha.
Riddhi ruddham duratmanaha.
Parakyasya eva dehasya.
Parakyasya eva dehasya.
Bhavyo me kshihi nirhata.
Bhavyo me kshihi nirhata.
Aho me pasyata jnanam.
Aho me pasyata jnanam.
Kriti ruddham duratmanaha.
Kriti ruddham duratmanaha.
Parakyasya eva dehasya.
Parakyasya eva dehasya.
Bhavyo me kshihi nirhata.
Bhavyo me kshihi nirhata.
Aho me pasyata jnanam.
Aho me pasyata jnanam.
Vidhi ruddham duratmanaha.
Vidhi ruddham duratmanaha.
Parakyasya eva dehasya.
Parakyasya eva dehasya.
Bhavyo me kshohi nirhata.
Bhavyo me kshohi nirhata. Ato me pasyata jnanam. Hridi ruddham duratmanaha. Parakshyasya eva dehasya. Bhavyo me kshohi nirhata.
Aho me
pasyata jnanam.
Hridi
ruddham duratmanaha.
Parakyasya
eva dehasya. Bhavyo me kshohi nirhatah.
Aho me pasyata jnanam.
Aho me pasyata jnanam.
Hridi ruddham duratmanaha.
Hridi ruddham duratmanaha.
Parakshyasya eva dehasya.
Parakshyasya eva dehasya.
Bhavyo me shuhinir hata.
Bhavyo me shuhinir hata.
Aho me pasyatya gnanam.
Aho me pasyatya gnanam.
Ridhi rudam duratmanaha.
Ridhi rudam duratmanaha. Bharatyasya eva dehasya.
Bahovyo me shonir hata.
Bahovyo me shonir hata.
Translation. King Yudhisthira said, O my lot, I am the most sinful man. Just see my heart, which is full of ignorance. This body, which is ultimately meant for others, has killed many, many phalanxes of men. Purport, a solid phalanx of 21,870 chariots, 21,870 elephants, 109,650 infantry, and 65,600 cavalry is called an Akshohini. What's called an Akshohini? No, I'm just kidding. And many Akshohinis were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Maharaj Yudhisthira, as the most pious king of the world, takes for himself the responsibility for killing such a huge number of living beings because the battle was fought to reinstate him on the throne. This body is, after all, meant for others. While there is life in the body, it is meant for the service of others. And when it is dead, it is meant to be eaten by dogs and jackals or maggots. He is sorry because for such a temporary body, such a huge massacre was committed. We'll sing the Mangala Charna. It begins in your Songs of Vaishnavacharyas. And the page number is 10.
Vande ham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahara Raghunatam Namasajivam Sarvetam Sarvadutam Vajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Rama Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Vishnu Shakamritamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vidyanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschadhyayeshadharine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Namine Sri Vaishnavi Devi Dharitaya Privadaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dharine Pravade Namaha Madhuryo Chvala Premantya Sri Rupanura Bhaktila Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Vinatharine Rupanura Virundhapa Siddhanta Matrahaline Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshat Vairagya Murtaye Vibramara Sambode Parambhujaya Venamaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakshitananda Namine Gaura Shakti Sarupaya Rupanura Varayate Gauravya Bhava Bhomeshtam Vivesta Sajjanatriya Vaishnava Sarva Bhomaisri Jagannathayate Namaha Vanchata Kurudhyascha Kripa Sindhu Yayevacha Patitana Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahabalanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurav Vishesha Namaha Panchana
Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Sukrato Pangor Mahamandala Matirgati Matsarvasa Pagambo Jor Radha Padana Mohana Divya Vidaranya Kalpadruhata Srimadhanagara Srinasanasto Srimadrata Srila Govinda Devo Krishnadivi Sevamanu Smarani Srimadra Sarasarami Vamsi Vajatatastita Karshande Nusane Gopir Gopinata Sriyasunaha Prakta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanusne Devi Pranami Hari Priye Vrindaya Tulsi Devaya Priyaya Vrishavasya Cha Krishna Bhakti Prade Devi Satya Vachaya Namo Namaha Shri Nasimha Jaya Nasimha Jaya Jaya Nasimha Prahadesha Jaya Varma Mukha Varma Jaya Yada Yada Dharmasya Jnanir Bhavati Bharata Abhyudanama Dharmasya Tadamanam Srijamyaham Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chatyuskritam Dharma Samsthapanataya Sambhavani Lele Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru Mami Vaishyasi Yudvayvam Mahatmanam Maparayanaha Sarva Dharmam Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishami Vasudaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadhi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Aho me pashyatan gyanam hridi rudam duratmanaha parakyasya eva dehasya bhavyo me shohanirhata. King Yudhisthira said, Oh my lord, I'm the most sinful man. Just see my heart, which is full of ignorance. This body, which is ultimately meant for others, has killed many, many phalanxes of men. Well, it's such a simple thing, but it's so hard to see. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, for our benefit, pashyanapi na pashyati. Said, you see it, but you don't see it. And because what I'm talking about is how we're obviously not our body, but it's not obvious at all at the same time. And it's very difficult to reconcile because we see that people who are doctors, at least I've noticed this, I wonder how they can go and operate on a body, you know, open up the midsection, and I've seen that, you know, open up, and then you see everything that's inside, and then how you can be then later on attracted to the external beauty of some body. It's amazing, isn't it? It's actually really amazing that you can see it but not see it. See it before your eyes and then again be tricked. So why is that? And one answer, I remember I was walking down the street last year with Satyadev in Japan. We were in some intern place. We were going by train to some program. And we were walking down the street and there was some filming going on. There was some Japanese models were there on the street. And they were doing some commercial or something like that. And they had all, you know, they were attractively dressed, and they had makeup on and everything like that. And Satyadev and I, we were in our dhotis, but we were walking by, and just as we walked by, and then we were chanting japa, and we passed by the whole scene, and I heard Satyadev go, Daiva hi esha gunamayi, mama maya durantyaya, mama eva ye prapajante, maya me tamtarantate, which means that this divine energy of mine is very difficult, or sometimes we say impossible to overcome. But those who surrender unto me can easily cross beyond it. And the essence of this attraction in the material world is this attraction to the, for males are attracted to females, females attracted to males, and this is coming from the divine energy of the Lord, that there's some attraction there. And that it's described that this is the root cause of material existence. If you look in any form, any species of life, the male and female somehow are attracted. How a sea cow, or how a sea cow is attracted to a female sea cow is beyond comprehension, because they don't look very attractive, but the male sea cow is attractive. Somehow the influence of the daivi maya, it's a spell-like condition. And originally this is all coming from Krishna. In the very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the great Vyasadeva gives this verse. We can... Oh, you don't have it, do you? Which he says that... gives the definition of God. Like, what is the definition of God? Well, one definition, it's very nice, is God is that from whom everything else emanates. Janmagyasyayataha. This is the aphorism. So this starts off with this Janmagyasyayataha. That means that God is that from whom everything else emanates. So what does that not include? Who can say? He's that from whom everything... Just tell me one of the things. Let's make a list, and we'll make a list of the things that doesn't include. Okay, go ahead. Boy, what a smart group. It's a trick question. Okay, so here he says in this verse, Muhyanti yatsuraya, teni brahma hridaya adikaveye muhyanti yatsuraya, that... knowledge is delivered to Brahma. He is born into ignorance in this world. When he first comes out, we hear in the Brahma Samhita, right? How he is born from the lotus pit of the Mahavishnu and the navel from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and the lotus flowers grown up. And at first, he's in complete ignorance. He doesn't know where he is or who he is. I've had that experience before. I was once doing Sankirtan in Dallas, Texas. It was very hot. And I went outside to have lunch in the car and take a break from the Sankirtan. So I went and I sat in the car and I had my prasadam and I thought, I'll take a little nap. And it was something about the hot car, and I was in a city I wasn't used to, and I didn't know, and I fell asleep for about, I don't know, 40 minutes or something like that, just leaning over in the car, you know, very uncomfortable. And I woke up and I didn't know where I was. I had no idea. And I didn't even know who I was. I was in that much ignorance. I was looking, and it took me, I did panic, you know, but I was thinking, like, where am I? Who am I? And I experienced when the blood flow started coming back and it started a little more consciousness. I go, oh, right, okay, it's okay. I'm in Dallas, Texas. I'm doing Sankirtan. I had this experience of, you know, being conscious but being in complete ignorance at the same time. It's like how Brahma, he's born in this darkness. He doesn't know where he was. And we're really helpless like this all the time. Actually, Sarvasyachaham Radhisani Vishto Mantak Smritya Jnanam Aponam Cha. That Krishna is actually providing us intelligence all the time, and the ability to see, the ability to hear. All these things are coming by his grace. The ability to breathe and to actually digest. And we take it for granted all the time, but actually he's the source of that. He's the source of our intelligence and our abilities and everything. And so Brahma in the beginning was in this state, and what could he do? What can any of us do but make a prayer and sincere, please help, somebody help. And in that state, the Lord gave him the instruction, tapa, this to perform this sacrifice. And then he provided the means of sacrifice, as we know from the Brahma Samhita, right? What is it? Tapastam tapa etena tapasiddhir bhavishyati. That comes after, but then he is explaining how Goddess Saraswati, Divya Saraswati, Divya Saraswati, appeared before him and gave him the mantra and then said this, tapastam tapa etena tapasiddhir bhavishyati. Practice this mantra and it will bring you siddhi. You'll come to your perfect stage. And his purport is clear. And so he began to do that. Atate pesa suchinam prinam govinamadviyam shweta deepaptim krishnam golukastam param. And by Krishna's grace, by performing this mantra in association with the transcendental sound, he was able to come to full consciousness and understand what his position was. But this material nature, it's coming from Krishna, janmadyasayataha. So ignorance is also coming from Krishna. Illusion is also coming from Krishna. It's all being supplied by Krishna. And here is explained, even the great demigods are bewildered by this power Krishna has. And it's like a magic spell almost, that they become kuakam, illusioned. Kuakam means illusion. So by the spell of material nature, we come under this kind of illusion, and we think that I am this material body, and everything in relationship to it is mine, and then we're sorely mistaken if we think that. And it's really a ripoff, because it's not true. We're not this body, and everything in relationship with this body is not me. So to come to full knowledge is the goal of life, and to understand how that's how we're connected with Krishna, and how to be always in connection with Krishna, so we're never out of the light. That is the great science of Krishna consciousness. And then we can actually experience real life, which is beyond the control of the modes of material nature or the illusion of thinking I'm this body. And it's not an easy thing. And this is the very basic and beginning point, and we shouldn't try to skip over it also and think that I'm beyond this. Or that this, Keshavardhan Maharaj was commenting on this when he was here last time, that if we think hearing about how I'm not my body is boring, you know, sometimes you can read in Prabhupada's books and you hear over and over again, you're not your body, you're not your body, you're not your body. And you're like, I know that, I've read it already, let's hear something else. And he said, if you're in that state of consciousness thinking that, you know, that's boring, then you're not realizing it. Because when you begin to realize that you're not your body, it becomes very exciting. In fact, there's this stage of Brahma Bhuta, is the beginning stage of actual spiritual life. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochatina Kankshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhpaktim Labhate Param. It's the beginning of bhakti. Madhpaktim Labhate Param. That's when you gain actual bhakti, is when you're liberated from this position of thinking I am my body. It's a great relief. We're carrying around a huge, huge, huge burden. And that's why you become joyful. If someone just relieved you of all your debt suddenly, came and said, you know what, that mortgage you owe and all those other things, everything, we're absolving that. No more. And you drive down and say, yahoo! So in this Brahma Bhuta, Prasanatma immediately become happy because you realize, I don't have to carry this burden anymore, that I'm my body. And all these things in relationship that I thought I had a duty to, I no longer have an obligation. You're completely free immediately. This is the Brahma Bhuta stage. And from that position, one enters into the actual spiritual activities of bhakti. Mad bhaktin lavate param. One begins from that position. So This is the essence of spiritual life, and it takes great personalities who are endeavoring long periods of time to come to full realization. In fact, Devahuti told her exalted son, Kapiladev, who was the incarnation of the Lord himself, that how can we do this since it seems like the body and the soul are one thing? There's no difference between the two. It seems like they're intermingled. I mean, even people are practicing for a long time and then all of a sudden they go, wait a minute, you sure I'm not my body? You know, because it seems like I am. And she said, how can we extricate ourselves since it's such a difficult thing? You know, we've been entangled for so long in this conception of life, thinking I am my body. And Lord Kapiladev answered, and he said that this takes place by hearing over a long, long period of time. Gradually, gradually, it diminishes over a long period of time. Just like, you know, if you cut your finger, did your finger heal yet?
Still hurts like
anything, right? But it will heal. You know it will heal. You watch it day by day. It gets a little bit better, right?
Yeah.
But in the beginning, it's like, could this just heal by tomorrow so I can play the Madanga again or something? And but we can't rush it over a long period of time. You know, one little cell at a time, it's gradually healing and getting better. So similarly, as we stay in touch with the transcendental sound and with the process of Krishna consciousness, our misconception will gradually be lifted. And also, fortunately, the way the pattern of our lives go, that we grow from boyhood to youth to old age, it's also helpful if we're in Krishna consciousness. It can be helpful if we're in Krishna consciousness because you lose the whimsy of youth. Teenagers, no matter what you tell them, unless they're really advanced from their last life, they're just whimsical. It's like, you know, this isn't a good idea. You shouldn't do this, you know. Okay, no problem. Next thing, they just go do it, you know. Because they can't help themselves. They're just so full of, you know, vim and vigor and lust. And just go, you know, it's very difficult. And then I was thinking the other day just about how I was on a walk and I was watching some kids play in the playground. They were playing some tag game. I was thinking, boy, that looks like fun. But first of all, I probably wouldn't be able to keep up with them. And second of all, I don't have time to play anymore. And I was thinking, that's too bad because I really like to play. I loved to play when I was a kid, you know, playing tag. It's all you did all day long, right? But in the midterm of life, you can't play. You have to work. You got to work all the time just to maintain. Adults, especially these days, barely play at all. You know, have to work hard and things like that. Kids get to play all day long. It's a natural course of things. But in older age, in the latter part of our life, there is an opportunity also where obviously the body's falling apart. We slow down and we can sort of surrender ourselves and say, okay, let me take the spiritual life. Prahlad Maharaj recommends that you start as soon as you're able, however. Komarit acharit pragno dharmam bhagavatam iha. You know the verse? Let's hear it. One more up there.
Komara Achare Pragma Bhagavatam Dharma Bhagavatam Iha.
Durlabham Manasam Janma.
Durlabham Manasam Janma.
Tarapti Dhruva Martadam. Very good. Let's give her a hand. She's bringing in Bhagavatam shlokas now. Very good. So this verse, you want to tell about it? Yeah.
Komar actually practices, like Prahlad Maharaj says, like from the childhood, like when you are just born from the beginning, when you are tender age, you should like Komar actually practice. Pragna is intelligent person. Whoever is we call intelligent, they should take up this Krishna consciousness and they're like when they're the tender age. So Komar actually practice Dharma and Bhagavatam. So whoever, like all these things, they have to take and Dullabha manusham janma. If you can't take this, then this life is just waste. Because really we get a human body. So we might think like this human body is also like other body, like animals, everybody, like we also die someday. But only the advantage in this human body is we can practice devotional service. So that is the highest thing that we have. All the human beings, all the like living entities have the same life and death. But the human, this human body has the only advantage is that we can practice devotional service. So just we are so fortunate that we got this human body where we can practice devotional service. And so this body should be utilized just for Krishna's service. And that service should be used when we are at a tender age, like Prahlad Maharaj, he was at 5 and he was practicing from 5 and he was teaching his students also, like all his students were as well. So he says that when we like, and Adhruvam and Adhruvam, so Adhruvam is temporary, even though this body is temporary, but we have, this body can be utilized for devotional service, so it is very rare. This human life is very rare, so don't misuse it, just use it for the devotional service of Krishna and practice the Krishna consciousness.
Bravo. So we should start as soon as possible. Yes.
I just had a question. If you could elaborate on this. I had this idea that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he talks about, in some of his songs, he says, humbled and poor at the end of his life. Like, you know, now I've come to the end of my life, humbled and poor. So I have this idea that death is like the ultimate humbling experience, or growing old in this process. Of, I have some experience in my own life, but you don't want to grow old, but still sort of not young anymore. You're
asking me, right? Yeah, I can tell you. Yes, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs and poetry, he sings these songs almost of lamentation, of how I've wasted my whole life. Of course he hasn't. This is his feeling of humility. This is called dainya. Dainya means extreme humility, and in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami explains that dainya is almost synonymous with prema, with love for God. Prema, love for God, doesn't exist without this extreme humility. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses this in his songs when he talks about how I've ruined my whole life. I've never done anything of good for anyone. I've only lied and cheated and been harmful to other living entities. And he talks about how now in the last part of my life also, I'm completely useless. That I can't do anything because now I'm old and I've wasted my whole life. And, of course, this isn't just a product of growing old, although growing old does help. But one can feel those sentiments at any time of life. This is a symptom of being advanced in spiritual life. And this is actually the prerequisite, this kind of mentality, for being able to chant Hare Krishna. This is Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir Edamana Madak Puman Naivar Yadidatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. Queen Kunti, earlier we were reading these verses, and she has said that if we have some feeling in our heart that I have something in this world, see, I have a standing here, I have a stake here. Lord Jesus Christ said, don't make an investment in this world. It's like sand. You know, make your investment in the spiritual world. It'll be permanent there. And so if we feel like I have some investment in this world, and she names Janma, I have a high birth, my name, you know, I come from a, you know, such a great family, or I'm a Brahmin, Janma Karma, or, you know, the kind of work that I'm doing, Janmaishvarya. Aishvarya means opulence, very hard one to overcome. That if I have great wealth or opulence, you know, you have a new car, a big bank balance, everything, you're driving down the road thinking, oh, life is good. You know, I'm okay, you know. Maybe death won't get me. Something like that. You know, when we're in that Aishvarya Shruta, and if we have great learning, supposedly great learning, you know, I have a PhD, I have two PhDs. and I think that I'm very intelligent. Shribir, or I'm very beautiful. People become bewildered by that because everyone reacts to them in such a way that gives them whatever they want because they're beautiful. That these things are a kind of intoxication, she says. It's like an intoxication that keeps you from that sincere calling out to Krishna. And so she says, the sincere person is called akinchana. And kinchana means something. And akinchana means no something. There's nothing. I don't have anything. And that should be our mood in chanting Hare Krishna and our service attitude, that I'm a humble servant. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And if I assume some position or some attitude, that will block my progress. So she says, Tvama Kinchana Gocharam, that the Krishna becomes the property of those who are akinchana. They feel, I don't have anything to protect me. I don't have any stake in this world. And they're simply calling out to Krishna in a helpless way. Samasritaye padapalava plavam mahatpadam punya yasho marareye bhavam budir vatsa padam param padam padam yad vipadam natesham. We're drowning in this huge ocean of material life, and there's only one shelter, and that's Krishna's lotus feet. So if we think like that, if we feel like that, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is expressing that, dainya, and how it feels, this is the benefit of the acharyas. They're lighting our path, and they're showing us, this is how you will feel when you come to this stage of actual adainya, that you'll feel. It's not that he's like that. It's not that the devotee is the most valuable person, but he feels himself very lowly and fallen. And Prabhupada, on one tape, it's recorded for our sake, it speaks about deity worship. When we go to worship the deities, what is the most important attitude that we should have? It's not that, well, I'm a Brahmin, I can worship the deity. That's not our qualification. Our qualification for going to worship the deity, Krishna's, Prabhupada says, he says, and he begins to cry, actually, because he's experiencing it himself, and you can hear it on the recording when Prabhupada speaks this. He says, I'm very fallen and rotten, that I have no qualification. And so we should feel like that when we approach Krishna through his name, through his deity, when we're serving the devotees. We should actually feel like that I'm very fallen and lowly, and I don't have anything to offer, but I'm going to do my best, you know, to make this offering. And if we offer in that mood, with dainya and that feeling, then Krishna will accept it. Otherwise, it's not acceptable. It can be very opulent, it can be big, it can be a lot, but it's not acceptable to Krishna. Whereas if it's a tiny little offering, like Sudama Brahman, he felt like that. He was a friend of Krishna's in Gurukul. They had actually gone out doing all kinds of austerities together for their guru. And later on, when Krishna was living in a big palace in Dwarka, Sudama was very poor Brahman. He didn't have anything. And he was a pure devotee. His wife said, you know, Krishna is the king. You could go ask him for something. And he said, no, I don't want to ask for anything. But she convinced him to go, finally. And so he went. He wasn't going to ask for anything, but he was going because he felt like he could see Krishna again, and he was using it as an excuse to go. So his wife said, you know, take something with you. Here's some chipped rice. They didn't have much in the house. He took a little few grains of this rice, and he put it in his cloth. So he went to Dwarka. He saw Krishna. And when Sudama came in, Krishna worshipped him. He put him on a seat, and he offered all kinds of articles, washed his feet, sprinkled the water on his head. Lakshmi Devi was there fanning Sudama, and they had nice talks about their childhood. And then when Sudama was leaving, Krishna said, you know, I think you brought me something. No, I don't have it. No, it's right there, I see it. And he grabbed it. He took it away forcefully because Sudama was, you know, he had brought this offering, but he was too ashamed to even offer it to Krishna. Like, this is nothing. I don't have anything. But Krishna took that, and he took once, twice. And then Lakshmi stopped him from taking a third time and said, this offering is such a nice offering that now I'm indebted so much, I won't be able to fulfill everything. And so please don't take any more. And so then when Sudama was going home, walking back, he was thinking all about his friend Krishna and how wonderful he was, and all, full of gratitude. And not a thought for any kind of material gain or, you know, what did I get from this? And when he came back to what used to be his little shack, it had transformed into a gigantic palace. There were all kinds of beautiful people out in front, taking care of all the manicured gardens. His wife came out. She had been transformed, everything transformed. And this was all Krishna's, you know, mercy. And Sudama wasn't affected even by that, you know, any kind of opulence. But the point of the story also is that, you know, he made some simple offering and Krishna accepted that. So we should be in that mood when we offer something to Krishna, that I'm very fallen, lowly. And what do we have to offer anyway? When you go in the Ganga, you take a bath and then you take some Ganga water, right? And you offer it back to Ganga. What else do I have? You know, you can bring that. Or you offer, you know, a lamp or something. Everything is coming from Krishna anyway. So the only thing Krishna says that's important about it is the bhakti. And he says, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati taram bhakti paritam ashnami bhaktya pariyatatmanaha. And so three times he says bhakti in that verse. You know, it's the bhakti, it's the bhakti, it's the bhakti. So that's what we're offering. And that comes when we see our actual position as his eternal servant. And if I'm in that mood, then my bhakti, my offering will be effective. So that's what we have here. We have this situation where we can come and offer something. And it's not the opulence of the place. But it's nice to offer, you know, opulent things to the Lord. But that's not all in all. It's our feeling and our how we're offering that bhakti to the Lord. Rakshit Prabhu, welcome back.
Thank you. In light of the discussion that we are having, one is about the need to extricate oneself from one's body, which was the earlier point that you made, and the second about the need to offer. In fact, Krishna has even said that if you offer correctly, you can conquer me. It's like the bhakta conquers him. I was reminded about a couple of other verses from the Bhagavatam in the 10th chapter, if you'd like to look at. One was the, it's in the Shloka book, both are on page 255. The first one, beginning with Jnane Prayasam Udapasya Namanta Eva Jivanti San Mukha Ritam Bhava diya vartam stane stita shruti gatam tanu van manobir ye prayaso ajita jito apiyasi taistri lokya, where Krishna is, where it says that those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge and with their body, words and mind offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicated their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you, that is Krishna personally, and by your devotees, certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. And the message here is that one, of course, doesn't need to change one's social position. And then one needs to do the offering. And this is the offering by the body, mind, and words in a very humble way. And the process can lead to one extricating oneself from the body. And Krishna will notice this progress because he's conquerable by these offerings. And the second verse that follows, which is 10.14.4, says, what is the consequence if one doesn't take this path? And just to read the purport, it says, my dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the best path for self-realization. If someone gives up that path and engages in the cultivation of speculative knowledge, he will simply undergo a troublesome process and will not achieve his desired result. As a person who beats an empty husk of wheat cannot get grain One who simply speculates cannot achieve self-realization. His only gain is trouble.
Thank you for introducing two very important verses from the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, which is a very important chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Hare Krishna. So just in conclusion, I wanted to say that this worshiping Krishna is something that advanced devotees don't just worship Krishna. In fact, the definition of the least advanced devotee is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Havi Yogendra says, Acharya meva hareye pujam yashraye hate. Natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smitaha. That the lowest level of devotion or of devotee is expressed by those who do worship Krishna, but they do not show proper respect to the devotees of Krishna, and they also don't show proper respect to other living entities. It means everybody besides Krishna. In other words, they see Krishna is there, but they don't recognize anyone else. This is the lowest class of devotion. And therefore, that kind of devotion is not very pleasing to Krishna. In other words, if we worship Krishna in the temple, for instance, but then we're not perfect in our dealings with others. And why is that? Others are parts and parcel of Krishna. And Krishna is in the hearts of other living entities also. In fact, Lord Shiva says that the highest method of worshiping Krishna, who is in everyone's heart, is to take some voluntary suffering for the sake of others. This is pleasing to Krishna, in order to do some benefit for them, to give them some spiritual benefit. One takes, you know, some suffering in one's own life to alleviate the suffering in others' lives by giving them Krishna consciousness. And so this is a higher position. So just particularly here at ISV, we have to be very diligent to cultivate this. That it's not that just Krishna's here on the altar, but he's also within the hearts of all the devotees. He's represented by his devotees, and he's also in the hearts of everyone else, of every living being, whether it's an ant or whether it's a dog or a cow or all the people that we meet every day. And therefore, we have to cultivate this mood of service, of course, with discrimination. It's not that although a sadhu may see a tiger and a young girl as the same, he acts differently towards them. There is discrimination at the same time. However, the mood is there of service. And so, as an example here, we have to be very careful, like when people come here, when guests come here, as an example, to be very aware that they're here. We all should be aware when people walk in the room. In fact, we should do our seating just a little bit differently, so we're not like straight on, so that we can see a little bit more. So it's like when people come in, we see them. It's not that our back's to somebody, and when they come in, they sit down, and then we don't recognize them. They don't know where they are in the book, and then like they leave or something like that. We should be aware of our environment here, and on big festival days when people are coming. For instance, we have to be careful that, you know, everyone is being accommodated and taken care of. That, you know, we have to be sensitive and look around to see, you know, are people comfortable? Of course, it's a little hard when we have such a small place. But to the best of our ability, we have to go out of our way to take care of people who come here. The devotees and everyone who comes here is a devotee. But we have to, you know, make sure. Do they get prasadam? Prabhupada used to do this when he would give a darshan or any kind of program. He would be aware that if someone was leaving early, and he would send somebody to run after them to make sure they got prasadam before they left. He would not let anybody go. And he was very sensitive to see the environment and make sure everyone was being taken care of. So we cannot let people leave without prasadam or without, you know, a further invitation or, you know, extending ourselves. This is actually more advanced devotion. And then, of course, what we're doing in the way of Sankirtan, going out and actually meeting people and introducing them to Krishna consciousness, which is the most beneficial thing for the soul in this world. Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. They're wandering from here to there, getting nowhere. And when we introduce Krishna consciousness, this is the highest benefit. So showing kindness to others by going out and giving them this. But charity begins at home. We have to be very careful that when we're here, first of all, we don't become puffed up at any time and think, I'm an advanced devotee. As soon as I think, you know, I'm the advanced devotee, then we're fallen. We should think that we're the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant and remain very humble. This is our qualification to preach Krishna consciousness and to teach it to others, is our humility. Lord Chaitanya taught that by his example. And we should be vigilant. This is the very meaning of a temple, is to be vigilant that when others come here, that we take care of them to the best of our ability. That, you know, we notice them. We go out of our way to see, accommodate them. If it's their first time here or they feel uncomfortable or they don't know what's going on, we should try to be a friend to them. And not that just we'll stand in front of them and then watch Krishna and let them rot at the back of the room. Or, you know, not notice that they don't know what the mantra is. Or not notice that they don't know what page we're on, or, you know, that they feel disoriented or something like that. And it's when we're doing massive prasadam distribution on festivals and things like that, we have to be attentive to the details. When we're serving prasadam, it's a very important service. In fact, in the Gaudiya Math system in India, the sannyasis do all the serving. It's such a high thing to give out Krishna's mercy in the form of prasadam that, you know, the sannyasis, they're the only very qualified people that's like, okay, you can serve this. It's such an important thing. So how careful we should be, you know, when we serve out prasadam and how the mood we're giving it out. And also that, you know, when we have mass distribution going on, make sure nobody's missed or nobody feels left out. And devotees should be able to think for themselves in certain situations. When we have a situation where, you know, somebody needs something, but there's, you know, there's a rule, well, you can't take it now, but somebody has to leave and, you know, they're going to leave without prasadam, think for yourself. You know, go beyond the rule and think, what's the higher rule? I have to take care of this person. Give them the prasadam. Make sure that they do that. We should have some autonomy in that way. Of course, rules may be important too. If somebody pulls up a wagon and, you know, takes the whole feast away or something. But we have to be thoughtful. But the main principle I'm saying is that we have to make sure that we're dealing with each individual person, understanding that Krishna is within their heart. This is the highest form of devotion and that we're practicing. Not that Krishna's here, everyone else can go to hell. We have to be very, very careful to take care of everybody as much as possible. And this is pleasing, very pleasing to Krishna. So I remember when Bhaktidas got initiation. I don't remember, but he told me, because he was initiated way before I did. But he told me that when Prabhupada gave him the name Bhaktidas, he said, your name is Bhaktidas. And everyone said, Jai! Because, you know, we'll probably give out a name and say the name. It's very nice to see somebody get initiated. The spiritual master says, your name is such and such. And then everyone's, Jai, because, you know, it's a new life. Somebody's starting over and making a vow that I'm going to do this now. So his name was Bhaktidas. And everyone said, Jai. And the Prabhupada said, yes. The more you serve the Bhaktas, the more you'll advance in Krishna consciousness. So that should be our motto also. We're all here as servants, and the more we can see to the detailed service. Maharaj brought up such a nice point last night about detail. He said, love is in the details. You know, it's the little things. Like if you live with somebody and they, you know, do some little thing, you know, and you notice it, there's some love there. You know, so we should notice those details. This is the finer aspect of devotional service, to be looking for these things. Look for ways that we can do this kind of very detailed service, and especially serving the devotees. And then we'll have very nice atmosphere, and we'll also make advancement ourselves very quickly by staying in that humble mood of service and doing as much detailed, giving us detailed attention. Whose shloka book is this? This must be somebody's, because it's got a, what is it? Shiki, Pinchi? How do you say it in Sanskrit? Shiki Pinchi. Whose is this? This is nice. Look at this. Someone's really studying here. I'll tell you what they're reading. Yadi Deki Tarakara Krishnu Padesh, about preaching. They got all kinds of marks in here, and they have a peacock feather inside.
Probably then doesn't belong to this one. I saw someone once.
Oh, that's too bad. I was looking forward to meeting who it was. I wanted to offer my respects.
No, actually, he was asking about the price of.
Oh, Sheetal Kumar.
Huh?
Sheetal Kumar. Is that his? Last night? He wanted three sets of Bhagavatams? Okay, well, we have to find this devotee, offer our respects. Because look at, somebody here is studying this book. They're putting marks in here, and there's a peacock feather inside. Some great devotee is in our midst. We have to find out who it is and offer them some worship. So all our books at home should look like this, by the way, too. Not that you have buy a set of Bhagavatams or Chaitanya Charitamrita to take it home, and then 2 years later, when you open it, you go, it goes crack like it was the first time it was ever opened. You know? They should be like worn out, these books, and like markers all over the place, and like, oh, God, the book's almost like the cover's falling off. This is how much we should, you know, it's like sandalwood. The more you grind it, the more the aroma comes out and stuff. So we have to grind this and grind it, you know. Om Tat Sat. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gopremanande, Hare Krishna.